Ladies and gentlemen, listeners, you're very welcome again to our weekly podcast here on the Gaelic Games, the State of Gaelic Games in Austin, indeed further afield. My name's Adrian Logan, aimamolly.com. Delighted to say we have another two fantastic names this evening to join us to chew the cud, as we would say, in round Tyrone. Gerard Houlihan, three county titles with his own club here, so Armagh footballer from 1984 to 2000. Hooley, you won two Ulster senior titles, two Railway Cups with Ulster, a National League finalist with Armagh. I'll never forget that fantastic day in Croke Park. Two Sigerson Cup medals. You won with UUJ, first of all, in 1986. You were named the player of the tournament. Armagh minor manager, played soccer with Sligo. You have an FAI League Cup medal with them, with Monaghan United and also Ards. In 2001, you were called in to help Ulster Rugby with their handling skills. And that after that fortnight, then you decided that you would go and join the development office in Armagh. You're now Deputy Director of Sport in Armagh. In other words, you run the place and you're in control of the beautiful places like this where we are tonight in Rich Hill Recreation Centre, which is an absolutely fantastic facility. Alongside him, a man, let's keep it in the family, John Campbell, GAA correspondent of the Belfast Telegraph for more years than John cares to remember. He's one of the founder members of the Ulster GAA Writers, who will celebrate their 25th anniversary later this year. He's seen it all, done it all, and he has reported on it all. Gentlemen, you're very, very welcome.
Thanks, Louis.
Let's start with an easy one now. What about the deal done for Armagh when Kieran McKeever was racially and sectarian abuse against Laois, and then they all trotted down to Croke Park and Croke Park said, let's issue a statement, say it never happened, and what we'll do is we'll let McKeever play the match, then we'll bring him in and we'll go through the process of discipline and then we'll let him off. And that's what happened, Hooley.
Typical Tyrone conspiracy theorist, you know. Logie, it's a guess. We're glad to have McKeever off. Whatever we had to do, we had to do. I don't know. I'm not aware of any deal. I'm not underplaying that there may have been some sectarian or racist comments. Kieran's a very honest player, as you know. He puts his heart in the line every time, and you know whatever he says obviously was happened. He does have a tendency to get sent off far too regularly, certainly for us supporters, because we need him on the field. And it was a dangerous game Armagh were playing, not only losing them in the National League, but also potentially losing them against Tyrone in that vital game in the Championship. So we're glad to get him off. Whatever we've had to do, we've done. I think it was a messy situation, particularly for the GAA. And there's no getting away from it, Logie. It happens. And any team can down south. And I was speaking to the Cross McGlen supporters who were there recently at Croke Park, and they said they got a volley of abuse. Similar type of abuse, and I know the Armagh fans leaving the pitch in Tralee this year in the National League also got that same abuse. So it's going on, and we can't bury our head in the sand. It just happens, but Kieran probably was wrong to react.
John, it does go on, but let's not be holier than thou. In the north, it goes on. It goes on when Armagh play Tyrone. It goes on when Tyrone play Derry. It goes on when Monaghan play Cavan. So let's be fair about it. It goes on. It's called sledging, and it really it should be wiped out. It shouldn't really happen, John.
There is no doubt about that, Adrian. If you like, I mean, Christy Cooney has referred to the payment of managers as a cancer within GAA. This is a cancer of a less virulent form, but nonetheless, it's a nettle that the GAA has to grasp, Adrian. It has been mooted recently by people like Joe Kiernan and others in the media, that this is a problem that is not going to get any better with the passage of time. My fear, and I'm speaking personally here, my fear is that given the pronounced, if you like, the pronounced publicity which the recent incident involving Kieran McKeever, and we must realise there's an allegation of racist remarks. It's an allegation. He was sent off for kicking in the tunnel, but it's an allegation of racist remarks. My worry is, when we come into the Championship season, we could have Tyrone versus Dublin, Armagh versus Kerry. There is a potential for problems unless the GAA is prepared to take some sort of stand and outline some sort of criteria. It is enshrined in rule, but of course there are a lot of things enshrined in rule which are not implemented.
But John, they brushed it under the carpet. You know, if somebody was like you take a look at soccer and somebody's accused of a racist remark and there's internal disciplinary meetings immediately, but the GAA turn around and the wheel leash down, the wheel arm down, and suddenly they say it never happened.
But it's almost going to be impossible to police. Look, if you take it that Suarez case and what happened in Premiership and whatever, they needed video evidence. They need to look at 40 different angles. They need to look at different other things. The John Terry stuff. It's all up in the case. It's going to be your word against mine. In most cases, that's what it's going to be. But it's going on. Like, I mean, but it looks, it's not. I played soccer, north and south, and it goes on there as well. Any sport you'll do everything to get the edge. I know I've played against Sean Donnelly and boys like that over the years, and there's not a thing that the boys wouldn't have said to you just to get that wee edge. And there was more boys that would have chatted to you and talked about what you were doing after out of school hours or extracurricular stuff, and they would throw it all up in your face. What's good for the goose, good for the gander. As a player and a county player, you just can't react.
I was at an event a couple of weeks ago with Pádraig Duffy, who is trying very hard to lead the organisation.
Yep. Yep.
And it was quite interesting. I liked his tack in it, where he said that they're now going to put the onus on the GPA. Yeah. And they're going to say to Desi Farrell, look, talk to your members, talk to the players, get your house in order, because this is unacceptable. And John, it is unacceptable. I know the sledging. And look, what I tell you, Tyrone people listen, the Tyrone teams have been guilty of it for years and years and years, and they've been accused of various things. If you ask a Kerry man, they'll tell you that the nastiest team they could play against is Tyrone and vice versa and all that sort of stuff. So it does go on, John.
Undoubtedly, Adrian, it does go on. But as George said there, proving it, there is an element in the GA that quite often is conspicuous by its absence, and that element is honesty. I mean, when did any of us last hear a referee interviewed after a match and said, yes, I saw that incident, my player deserved to walk? You don't get it, unfortunately. And this is another element of that. Now, they're shifting the onus onto the referees, and as you quite rightly say, onto the GPA. Now, our more experienced referees, like the recently retired Pat McEnany, was able to have a quiet word in players' ears and tone it down a wee bit. But lesser experienced referees, I mean, they being able to listen out for that in the course of a match, as well as pick up the 101 other things that go on in the white hot heat of a championship match is virtually impossible. And let's be honest, we tend to think in these instances of the high-profile matches. What about the hundreds and hundreds of club matches that are played? And I would also maintain that a lot of the violence that occurs in matches emanates initially from uncontrolled sledging.
Well, I would actually go further even, you know, when you talk about it. I know the game's in good enough shape, but I've been a minor manager in Dungannon for a long, long time. For 6 or 7 years now, and whenever you go to youth level, it's almost if the mummies and the daddies, they're dreadful. There's this lack of respect from referees. Now, the GAA come out with this slogan to say, give respect, get respect, but it has to come. I read an article by Joe Brawley and agreed with him. Listen, he written in the Irish Mail, where he said basically it has to come from the youngsters at under 8, under 10, being disciplined at the start to show respect to referees. I almost think that the sledging comes almost as a direct result of that there, as part and parcel, part of the fabric of our game.
But it is about respect. If you take it that all this controversy in England about the soccer particularly is about diving. I mean, that's showing a lack of respect to your fellow players. You know, the people who are getting in trouble, they know the incident they headbutt at the weekend where a guy falls down and he wasn't even hit. You know, that's showing no respect to your fellow players. And I do think the GPA have a role to play in that and bringing the players together and say, look, let's cut this out. Because it's only individuals that can really cut it out. I don't see the GAA being able to do anything, because, John, if you imagine even on the high-profile games, the bigger matches, like, you know, you go to Croke Park, the last thing you're going to be worried about what people are saying to each other. It's going to be about the scores and the board and the tackles and everything else that goes on. So I think it's way down the pecking order. Mm-hmm. I think it's been brought to ahead at the minute with the Kieran McKeever incident, and it'll be hanging around for a while, but it'll soon disappear again.
As a Tyrone man, I have to say, and as a journalist, I was delighted to see Kieran McKeever get off, because I feel, listen, that he was almost made a bit of a scapegoat in it too, being perfectly fair, and he was led down the line, and Armagh were clearly incensed by what happened and issued the statement. I'm delighted they issued the statement, because at least it's been raised in the public profile. But the one thing I want to say to you about the GAA, we've got some great rules, you know what I mean? We have a fourth official who can do the timings, who can do the substitutions, who can tell everybody to sit down. but he's not allowed to report an offence. Mm. What sort of a rule? Sure, I could do that. These are all qualified referees. Mm. What sort of a rule is that?
I think, in fairness, and in relation to that specific incident in Portlaoise, I think it was as much the manner of Kieran McKeever's dismissal, where the teams came out, lined up at the start of the second half, and the referee immediately went to Kieran McKeever and told him to leave the field again. And the fourth official was Stephen Johnson of Louth. Now, it was never indicated why Kieran McKeever was sent off. And you're quite right. I personally, and I hate to say it, but I don't think the Armagh County Board covered themselves in glory in the way they handled the situation. I think they acted in haste and then were forced to repent at leisure. I think they issued their statement probably in good faith and highlighting what they felt were injustices, but then were forced into a retraction, if you like. And then eventually Kieran McKeever was freed. So the whole process, I mean, for people in other counties, I'm sure, looking on, were left, you know, at best bemused and at worst probably disgusted.
You see, Hooley, that's what we missed in end-to-end. That man's a wordsmith.
When that's
all you ever said week in, week out, I was great, ordinary enough, or not so
right.
Sure.
But then with Frank.
But they're going to have to sort the rules out too in GEA. Like, I think this is why you're saying they can't do much about it. I think they can do something about it if they talk to the GPA and if we start getting the discipline correct. Now, I'm going to tell you, look, I'm not sitting here. There'll be fellas listening to this here in Tyrone and know, listen, whenever I'm doing it, they're doing the line with the Clark's Miners. I'm no saint. That's what I've been reared with. But I believe that the youngsters, the children, have to be reared with a different mentality whenever it comes to it. The same mentality they have in rugby.
Well, people in Armagh will be laughing at you as a throw man or talking about discipline. You know? And most of the cutthroats in the world come from Tyrone.
Now, scandalous. Now, you can't say anything like that, listen. Oh, by the way, I say Kieran McKeever was an alleged kick as well.
I think just to go back to the point that you made there, in fairness to you, yourself and my good friend Nigel, in your roles with the Dungannon underage teams, in the process of doing the line, any remarks or any outbursts which you make would have been spontaneous, stoked by the action on the day, in response to something that happened, as opposed to a premeditated element of strategy. And this is where sledging, that's where the word cancer comes into play. That's where it becomes slightly more sinister. In the heat of battle, there are things happen.
Yeah.
But as part of a premeditated strategy, it brings it to a rather sinister level. And I think that's the problem that GA have at the minute. I personally, as I say again, I would have fears that it'll not get any better because of the outcome of what happened in Portlaoise.
A couple of things I have to say to you about, you know, even I have noticed the change in Tyrone as a minor manager. You're now not allowed to say anything to the referee. The referee will take very strict action. He talks to the teams before. If there's anything at all, if they hear anything said, if they hear language even from the from the line, they'll come over and they'll warn you and say, another time you're away. So you have to really control yourself.
I have long since maintained, Adrian, I make no apologies about it again, that there are two elements from rugby that the GAA should adopt forthwith. I have absolutely one, and to take you up on your point, the captain of a team should be the only person authorised to approach a referee to seek clarification on a decision, not in a confrontational sense by any means, to seek clarification. He then can communicate the feelings of the referee to a player or players, and that would help, I feel, the smooth running of a game. Secondly, at the end of the match, where this is maybe carrying it a bit too far, but nonetheless, I still feel it could have a part, where a losing team line up, applaud off their opponents and vice versa. And I know when you think back.
Fast forward here to the Athletic Grounds Armagh against Tyrone, the championship. I can see them applauding off the winners. Not at all, Adrian. But there's good respect between Armagh and Tyrone, to be fair.
I tell you what, it's not the Armagh and Tyrone's out of the problems, and it's not the Down and Fermanaghs. It's the drum with piercers in the Derry Tresk. Mm-hmm. What did that not do for you? Look at the association from the start of this year. Drum with piercers in Derry Tresk. Armagh and Cork. Mm-hmm. Kildare and Monaghan. Mm-hmm. Kieran, in 3 months, we're a quarter way through the year, Adrian, and the GAA would have had serious blemishes on
but
its
John,
image.
John, let's be fair. Now, hang on a second. The Drummond Derry Tresk got huge, yes, huge coverage. Uh-huh. Then you had an incident where Linfield played Derry City in the Setanta Cup.
Yes.
Got limited coverage, even though it was a riot after the match, and people were fearful of their lives.
Yes.
Then you had an incident in the Championship in England with Crawley Town, where there was an all-out fight with fists and punches and kicks, and it was all that, and got very, very little coverage.
That's only this week. But a man lost his job. Was a captaincy. There were two major fines and everything else going on. You know what I'm saying?
But what I'm trying to say to you is that whenever that happened with Linfield against Derry City, it didn't get the same publicity or airtime, I feel, as Derry Tresk and Drummond got. I feel that Derry Tresk and Drummond were just hung out to dry.
Linfield stuff was essentially off the field stuff. It was rival fans. It was nothing to do with players on the field. And what happened then was the incident got on.
Either way, it's not acceptable.
Not acceptable at all.
The only good thing I'd say with the GAA, John, you know, we're sitting here doom and gloom. It's almost we started off 10 minutes and we're all into it as to how bad we are. The one good thing that they have introduced, and I'm a great believer in this, we campaigned for years about it. This time ban just takes me to the fair.
No use.
Match bans. And you see fines, throw them out the window. Are you going to try and tell me that some cornerback who hammers some fella's leg as a lad and the county board's
look at the fine Tyrone County Board gave Carrick Moore. Now, let's be honest about it. I rest my case too
because the county boards come out and give you these big thing and they give you all these weeks and weeks and years of suspensions, which they don't count.
Absolutely don't count.
The lady who hit your fella, Declan O'Sullivan, who did hit the young fella coming off the pitch, the woman who hit him with the handbag, who was banned from the GAA for 5 years, was sitting in the fourth row in Croke Park.
I know,
who's
going to stop her? You can't place it. You can't police it.
Match bans has to be the key. It has to be the case of a cornerback being told, you're marking Jared Houlihan today. Houlihan's good. Get stuck in him. Give him all you want. And the wee fella says, well, hang on a second. I'm not going to do that because if I'm sent off, I could miss an Ulster final appearance.
Logie, two big things happened this year. The tot up. You know, every match, yellow cards need to be totting up. Suspension the next game.
Ten years ago we said this.
Needs to happen. Uh-huh. Boys week in, week out, getting yellow cards and still playing the matches. And the other thing, and Mickey Hart was stung right about the GAA, all the big fines come this year, from televised matches. The same was going on down the field in the 4th Division and everything else. Who was made to punish? Kildare and Mullen, why? They were live on TV. Armagh Cork, live on TV.
That's right.
And they were the only case. And Mickey Hart said to the GAA at the time, when Derry and them got into a bit of a fracas in Salick Park, If this continues to happen, I won't let cameras into the grounds that I'm playing on. And until you start talking that language, you can't do that. And we've said for ages that county football is now not the same as GAA football. It's not the same as the club football. Everybody wants to see it as the one sport. It's no longer. Because on a higher level, it's televised. Everything's investigated, looked at. It's not the same sport. And therefore, it shouldn't be treated as the same sport. And therefore, if cameras are going to be at one match, they need to be at all the matches. And therefore, you'd eradicate things like, you know, the sledging, because you could pick it up on the cameras. You could take instances or review them, bring them back and approve referees. That's the reason in Northern needs to do that.
The only problem is that the fact that they're talking today where money was taken back from the Irish government as part of a grant for coaching and the GAA's revenue's going down, so they don't have the money to do all these things that, you know, they tell us. But I want to go back to the thing about Derry Tresk. Do you think that the punishment that Derry Tresk got was the reason why Stephen Kiernan missed out on the club final? Did they have to be seen to be strong against Cross McLean, whereas maybe in the past they might have been able to play that? I'm delighted he went on to win it because Cross is the greatest club side we've ever seen. But I'm only saying, you know,
I wouldn't think that now, to be honest with you, Adrian. To be very fair, and I know Pádraig Duffy has been at pains, you know, to point out, and Pádraig Duffy is giving, I think he's given a strong line in trend of leadership.
But I agree with
and
that.
He's he's
completely not.
We know. And Pádraic Duffy is likely to be in situ for a few years to come, which is, to my mind, a great bonus. Yeah. We'll have a new president coming in now, Liam O'Neill, in a couple of weeks' time, and he may bring his own, put his own imprimatur on things. We don't know. We have to wait. Certainly, from the indications he has given, I think we could be prepared for shake-ups, whether they'll be for the betterment of the association or not, time will tell. But for the moment, I certainly think that, as you quite rightly say, there is the situation in relation to discipline is one of the biggest issues confronting GAA. The uniform application of discipline.
I think Logie, Stephen Kieran was a red card, but he's unlucky to be caught in terms of the sheerness and taking at the speed of it. I don't think it was a jaw breaking incident, but it was a red card.
I was at Donegal Mayo and Rory Kavanagh just before half time, lashback, and clearly the referees have been told. Yeah. Now, it wasn't that bad a lashback, but the referees have been told if you lash
back. But it is a jawbreaker.
Just to go back to the point of Jordan, you're both. If Stephen Kiernan's next match that he might have missed was an Armagh All County League match, would there have been a word about it?
No. But here, just more on about it. I know we've done our whole negative thing and we're with the whole thing. Yeah. We'll have the hand up or something else. Boys, what about Cross McLean? Have you ever had a.
I have nightmares thinking about Cross McLean.
I know. Yeah. And the only place they can lose, I feel, is Armagh.
We're the last team to beat them, in terms of a
championship. It's cost us
six county titles. I mean, if you take it that the year the Oaks did beat them, St Gall's went on when they all are, and St Gall's beat the Oaks in the first round. So, you know, there's potential there, but they're on mighty side. And I have to say, Tony's a very good friend of mine, and Gareth O'Neill both. And I think they have a great brand of football at the minute. I mean, it's not the Cross of old now. I think they've definitely matured. They've moved the goalposts in terms of modernising the way they play. They play hard and fair, but they're far superior. The only team that I see at the minute kicking the ball at length, using the pace and using their strengths, which isn't all about brawn, which up until now was the crossway.
John,
Adrian, I mean. You're quite right. I mean, we've probably been in negative mode, but on a very positive note, if you look, take from the 1st of January, you know, Ulster have won the Interprovincial Championship, Lochgeill, Cross McLean, St Paul's Bessbrook last week. Yep. This Saturday, we have Holy Trinity College in the All-Ireland Colleges B final. We have St Michael's in the All-Ireland Colleges Hogan Cup final. Tyrone have cantered into Division 1 of the National League. Fermanagh are fairly certain of going into Division 3.
As long as Armagh don't canter out of it, John.
Obviously,
we'll talk about that now.
Obviously, you would prefer to see promoted sides from Ulster being an addition to, instead of replacing Ulster sides. Hopefully, maybe we'll escape, but there are obviously relegation fears, but there's certainly a very, very positive element to the GAA in Ulster from the 1st of January. The big problem, of course, Adrian, as we all know, is that the Kieran McKeever story, the Derry Tresk story, the Armagh vs Cork, once a sports story, as we all know, becomes a front page story instead of a back page story, the GAA has a big problem.
Well, all I'm trying to say is sometimes, and I'm a journalist all my life, sometimes journalists are too keen to make the back page GAA story the front page story.
An attendant problem to that, and I have a certain sympathy, and I name Pádraic Duffy because he made this point, and I think it's a well made point. He made the point that people who are not GAA writers, or indeed maybe knowledgeable in relation to GAA, but are asked then to do their colour pieces and their comment pieces on these incidents, highlight it further, and sometimes the material is not always as accurate as it should be. Not for one minute am I suggesting that my material is always accurate, but in those kind of situations where players' careers, because to go back to the point of a player could potentially be given a two-match ban, potentially that could finish a player's career. He could be at a certain age. Mm-hmm. He could then, too much ban, he loses his place in the side. The side then go out of the championship. That could be the end of his career.
John, they have to have match bans. I remember a few years ago, Roy Keane was put out of this, and you go back to soccer again, and they're worried about aping soccer. It's not a case about that. If another sport got better rules and ideas, I think you should learn from plagiarism. Yeah, and take it.
Yeah.
But I remember Roy Keane sent off, or he got a second yellow for a pathetic effort in the semi-final in the Champions League, and he couldn't play the Champions League final. Remember a couple of years ago, Cork fella hit Brian McGuigan off the ball and was sent off. And he wasn't even, he hadn't gone from the pitch to the sideline. Then they'd gone into, let's save him from the All-Ireland mode, where it was, as I often say, the fact that he was a daily communicant, he looked after his granny who had epilepsy, and he had a dog, only two legs. Yeah. And it was all the usual stuff and all these various things. And then suddenly, it wasn't that bad. And
ring Fergal Logan.
So what they're going to have to do, do in future, if you're sent off, you get the too much ban. And I would go the other way. I would be very simple to say, I'm going to tell you, I'm not saying because you have to use an example, really. Hooley goes along, he's got a one match ban, and they say to Armagh or to Tyrone, you're gonna fight that? Uh-huh.
Well, double it.
Just be rest assured. See, if you lose it, it's doubled.
Absolutely.
Well, I think that's what's wrong with appeals. There's nothing to be lost by appeals. By appeals. What you should be doing is hit with a three match ban if you're appealing a one match ban on the county board, should be fine. Because then they would start thinking about should we really challenge this? You know, if appeal is there, it should be there for a reason. You'd have a genuine will to get off.
There is an element of sentiment comes into it as well. You take the two most high profile cases a few years ago. Dara O'Shea, red carded in August, played in the All Ireland final in September. Mm. Last year, Dermot Connolly, red carded in the All Ireland semi final in August. It was a clear case. Oh, no chance from playing. Played in the All-Ireland final against Kerry.
What odds Ryan McManaman would have got playing in the situation like that? No. Or is this persecution again? Yeah. Anyway, let's move on.
Always persecution when it's a throne player.
No, but hang on a second. If your script doesn't change, you want to see him smiling here. Hey, I tell you what, this Sunday, Die Dog or Extract the
right.
License.
You're right.
Donegal against Armagh in the Lions Den of Ballybuffet, as a well-known journalist described it one time. What about this? Now, the loss of Murphy, is that a real boost to Armagh and McKeever being able to play?
Big time. And Jamie coming back, and Aaron coming back, potentially Paul Hurdy coming back. This was a game now at the end when I thought hopefully Armagh have enough points going into this game, because I didn't fancy it at all. I'm now beginning to fancy it. I think they've got great fill-up from the down match. Again, the early season scores, you couldn't expect them to get a draw at Cork and Kerry. I think everybody didn't expect those scores. Would expect to pick up our points in the rest of it. But Murphy out and those guys coming back, I think Armagh have a really major chance in this one.
Whenever you take a look at the table too, there's so many permutations. Like, if you went through those results the way you would like to do them, Hooley, you'd probably make a fortune with McLean's bookies, which you probably wouldn't. But at the same time, you think Armagh can beat Donegal in Donegal?
I didn't up until recently. Now, obviously with the cross guys coming back, the victory over Down, I think it was a great lift for everybody. John was at the match. I actually missed the match. It was a tremendous game of football. Donegal, I know, have a way of playing, and Armagh will probably match them. Jamie coming back would be a great help to us. Now, why he starts or not, that's a different matter, but I think even to have him on the bench would be a great fill-up to us. I think Armagh might get
the strangest thing I find about the league, but John, I was up and covered the Donegal Mayo game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The Mayo performance in the second half, if you were a Mayo man, my brother-in-law's a Mayo, and I says, John, you were lucky you weren't there. It was pathetic. Mm. It was childlike, their second half performance. Yeah. Then they go out the next match.
And Hammer Dublin?
Three forms up the left.
To be fair, yes, some of the results actually could honestly be described as bizarre. I mean, I would be petrified. I would be petrified for Armagh on Sunday because the scales are tipped in their favour.
And
I'll tell you why they're so tipped in their favour. Michael Murphy is out.
Yeah.
Colin McFadden played for his club last Sunday. Would be less than 100% fit. And Patrick McBrearty, as far as I'm aware, is spending this week in an Australian rules football camp in London, returning on Saturday night. Hardly, I would suggest, the best preparation for his team's most important match of the year to date. So, and given, as George said, the possibility of the Armagh team being strengthened from what it has been. It certainly couldn't be much more strengthened in terms of character and resolve that they displayed against Down, which those qualities took them over the line.
If you take Armagh to win that game, are you trying to say to me then that the possibly two teams that will be relegated then obviously will be Leisure and no points in Donegal who remain on four?
That would suit all right.
Yeah, but you and I'm not saying it would suit, but that's what you're saying. You know, you're going to put a 10 well, in it. Would you fancy it? Would you fancy it, John?
I would fancy it because I expect Down to beat Leash.
Okay, right, fair enough.
I expect Down to beat Leash.
So what
Logie,
we're saying
there's
here...
There's a conspiracy theory seen in Armagh saying the Kerry-Armagh match was a stitch-up. And the whole of Kerry were on Armagh to win that match because nobody could believe with a heart and a half that Armagh would beat Kerry down there.
Ah, which that's what's listening to the county.
Oh, well, that's what I'm saying, but the league results have been
I would venture to suggest to you, Jared, yes, very few people would have put money on Mayo last week to beat Dublin. Very few people would have put, some of the matches, the results have been, as I say, absolutely, there's been no part for it.
No.
But in a sense, it has probably kept it very interesting.
Well, I have to say, I think the leagues are very interesting.
Yes, it's been fascinating.
And I look at Division 2, and while Tyrone are away with 12 points, like the rest of it, you know, Kildare, Galway in Galway, to see if Kildare, Galway will actually make it into what you would call the Division 2 final.
Yeah. Yes.
And then you've got, there's still a possibility that Derry could go down, Meath could go down, Monaghan, Louth, and Westmeath. Like, people say Tyrone already there, they play Monaghan.
Yes.
From the Tyrone lads that... Tyrone want to win that game.
Westmeath may be rooted to the bottom of that table, but they've beaten Galway.
That's right.
They beat them well.
So if you looked at those fixtures there you have upcoming, Westmeath against Derry, Meath against Louth, Tyrone against Monaghan and Galway Kildare, where's your tips there, lads?
I'd be going for Derry. I think Meath's level of desperation might get them home against Louth. I would expect Tyrone to beat Monaghan fairly comfortably, a repeat of last year's Ulster Championship match, and I'd expect Kildare to beat Galway, although that match could be a draw.
Oh, John, I think Kildare will hammer Galway.
Yeah.
Obviously, I think they're coming into form at the minute, and just looking at even their scores are improving dramatically. And I don't like the sounds coming out of Louth. There's this story today about the expenses and everything. I think they're on a collision course, you know. So, but, you know, Tyrone will beat Monaghan and then that'll obviously put the cat up on the
pigeon. So what you would say at this stage, at that stage then you would say that Derry will stay up. So Louth and Westmeath will be ones for the chop and it'll be Tyrone Kildare in the league final. And you're saying the way Kildare are playing at the minute...
You could have an agonising situation there because you could have a situation there for Monaghan, fell out of Division 1 last year because Andy Mallon scored a point for Armagh and he hadn't scored a point before and he's unlikely to score one again. And wouldn't it be terrible if Monaghan dropped down to Division 3, maybe in somewhat similar circumstances.
Isn't that very professional of me, the fact that I've even put the scoring differences in there?
Yes, but there could be significant, Adrian. Yeah, they could prove significant in the final analysis come Sunday night.
Well, if you're assuming that Meath are going to beat Louth, they're going to go into minus 20 plus. And Mullen still have to be beat by 15. It's highly unlikely that that'll happen,
No.
I mean, Mullen already beat Kildare, and now Kildare are sitting there almost getting promoted.
It does look like Louth and Westmeath as things stand.
And Tyrone Kildare in the Division 2 final, you'd think.
Yes.
We can hold out the jury and not to see anything might win that one.
Yes.
Division 3, Longford and Wexford are playing for top of the table. They're going to be promoted, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the big game there, Cavan Antrim. Cavan are only on 4 points. Antrim are in 6, Antrim are safe. But I think Cavan, even they've only minus 4 points. Offaly have minus 38 and Tipperary have minus 41. And those two teams, Tipperary, are at home to Offaly.
Yeah.
So I think Offaly and Tipperary are the ones who are going to get chinned
there. Tipperary are down.
And Cavan
might potentially have their own 21 boys after the final, which I don't think they've been playing this last week.
They haven't, that's right,
So they might have them, so we might be strengthened.
We'll probably be on the 21 final in a minute. But then also in Division 4, people questioned about Peter Canavan going to Fermanagh. Sure, he's worked wonders for them. The people of Fermanagh are delirious. Fermanagh friends, they're so excited with the fact that they're even winning.
So
they just can't get over it.
They filled Armagh for the semi-final of McKenna Cup, and your old saying that even the McKennas didn't go to the McKenna Cup. but obviously McKenna's from Fermanagh, because
they're all over
the place, and the green flags out early, you know.
Well, the big thing about Fermanagh at the minute is, while they have progressed very steadily and obviously have their five wins and a draw under their belt, I mean, one of the things in our favour at the minute is, when you look at it, I mean, Martin McGrath's getting back to full fitness, Tommy McIlroy is back in, all the time Peter's slowly but surely strengthening his team, he's given him more options, so by the time they come to their Ulster Championship match with Down and with home advantage, it'll be very, very interesting.
Being a Down man on Brewster Park, I tell you what, from a long time out, I thought to myself, even before Peter Canavan took over, if Fermanagh got a wee bit of heart and a bit of soul back again, a bit of belief, like, you know yourself,
and
everybody's got ability.
When Fermanagh, you remember it well, Adrian and I do, and Jared does too, in 2004, when Fermanagh only beaten by Mayo after a replay. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've still your Barry Owens, they've still, you've still James Sherry, you still have as I say, Martin McGrath, Shane McCabe, people like that. Now, fast forward to 2008, beaten in an Ulster final after a replay. You know,
and a game that should
come
have won,
forward now, another 4-year cycle. They could just, Fermanagh, and I mean, they'll have a Division 4 final, which will give them another competitive match under their belts. So Fermanagh could be just bubbling nicely towards the Ulster Championship.
The interesting thing, all players now have preparation, and all their training and all their psychoanalysis and all their diets and all that sort of stuff, and they've all got ability. But the only thing that ultimately in the Championship, I feel, no matter about the ability and occasions, it's who wants it, who believes, and the right attitude. I think Canavan will have Fermanagh in the right attitude.
Well, team come winning forms, you know, is worth the points itself. You know, I have always predicted, up until I'm getting a wee bit worried now, is that the safest bet in this year's Championship is Down get the Ulster final. Because they've absolutely nothing on paper to beat in that group. Nothing to beat in that group. The only fear now is you have Fermanagh, who are steamrolling and everything else. You have Peter going there, as John said, players coming back. There's a serious doubt. And they're away from home. But I can't, for love nor money, see Fermanagh beating Down.
I must ask Mr. Malley to see if there's any possibility we could get a recording of this and distribute it to Fermanagh player. And they'll all be going to get that man, Hooley Burbank.
Well,
it's the best team talk with Peter Cameron could ever have.
Well, you know, the one people who get in front of themselves are Fermanagh people. As you say, like, from crowds. I have seen them go, I mean, that match in 2008, you know, Armagh beat. And even when they had Armagh beat, they still couldn't beat them. And, you know, the match in the Athletic Grounds many moons ago that I was involved with, where we were, you know, 8 points down with 5 minutes to play, and we still beat them. You know, I mean, they're always the one team that expect to shoot themselves in the foot. They're the Tottenham of Ulster football. You know, when you expect the most of them, they let you down. And be prepared, Peter.
I was going to ask a couple of questions too. The under-21 finals repeat of last year's final. I was up at Brewster Park for Tyrone against Cavan. Cavan played really good football that night under the lights in Brewster Park and deserved their victory. There's no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. And they did very well. And that was a Tyrone team tipped to win. But now they're back again.
They are, Adrian. And not only that, Cavan have unearthed, you know, another tranche of players. I mean, the full forward Kevin Tierney there, who seems to be something special. Last year we had Gerard McKiernan and people that, David Givney and that, who've come through. And they have a players there with a ration of senior experience. Now, in fairness, Tyrone, even without Ronan O'Neill, whom I rate one of the, you know, a huge talent, but even without him, I think Tyrone have been playing within themselves. I think there's a more in this Tyrone side, and I think if they express themselves more fully in the final, they could make it a great match. Cavan went to the All-Ireland final last year with high hopes and were well beaten by Galway.
So we're well beaten. It was a big disappointment for them.
Yes.
But John, you know yourself, Galway have always have good underage teams. I mean, you take it Tyrone, Galway and Cork, they always guarantee good underage teams. Cavan are putting a ton of work in. And see the backroom staff, and I've funny noticed Dermot McCabe's now looking after the minor team. Yeah. Good word about the minor team. Ronan Carlan involved with the under-21s 2 years in a row. I watched them last year playing in a challenge match. The backroom staff, everything was done meticulously. You see a new favour. I'm not saying Cavan, the up-and-coming team like Martin McHugh, took the Ulster success, but they're putting a ton of work in, and fair credit to them. They are where they deserve to be.
Well, we just I want to move on a wee bit. So, in a word, Tyrone, Cavan under 21, so just give us your call there.
Well, I haven't seen any, but I mean, obviously would fancy Tyrone, but
I would fancy it. I think there's more in them, to be honest with you, Adrian. I think it might come out in that final.
And John, you were always knowledgeable too when it came to the minors. So I was going to ask you as well, would you have a broad view about where you feel the minor championship is shaping up, or what are the teams, who are the teams to look out for?
I think, Adrian, it would be fairly open. I mean, obviously, when you think of minors, you automatically have to think of Tyrone. I mean, just go back to the point that you're making, you were making a minute ago there. I mean, when you talk about the lake of a team like Tyrone and Galway, I mean, yeah. St. Charles too.
That's
right.
I mean,
it's a real comparison. Tyrone, look at Tyrone. I mean, interestingly, on Saturday in Croke Park, the two opposing sides to the two Ulster sides in the schools finals are both from Offaly. So if Offaly sort of come to the surface in about 4 years' time, yeah. We'll maybe know the reason why. But certainly, you would have to look at Tyrone, and also at minor level, I would be keeping a dark eye as well on Donegal.
Mm-hmm. Interesting to hear. Yeah. I must admit, I always enjoy the minor football because there's something about it. I watched, I've sat in the case, yes. I was there the year that Armagh won the minor title a couple of years ago, and met the young fella, actually the wee captain. He was over in San Francisco there last year, and I must admit, it was a really, really enjoyable game. And minor football is so strange because
it is.
And that match thrown where you'd have thought they were nailed on, then Armagh came back and won a couple of goals.
Yeah.
Like, you know, yourself, you're looking after minors.
Well,
you're never home to
five minutes after the even this year, as John said, the colleges stuff, you always take one eye on the McCrory Cup and everything else. You know, you've Derry obviously, Mahara were beaten in the final, but Glenn Mahara won the Ulster Minor title.
But Jared makes a good point there, saying about the only kids, but you're quite right, but they are only kids. But such is the the levels of maturity that players can reach very quickly. One week, Patrick McBrearty is a vocational school. The next minute, he's an established Donegal, no automatic first choice player with Donegal at 17.
Yeah.
Niall McParland of Down, I mean, again, another young player, unheard of. Now he's an established wing back, keeping other players out of the side. Yeah.
And Ronan O'Neill would have been one there too.
Absolutely.
As well.
Yeah, right.
He's a fabulous player.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'll tell you a wee remark. We were at the Offaly game, the Kildare game, and the Kildare defender was really giving O'Neill a wee bit of stick. And I, for once in my life, I was quiet at a match. That's honest to God's truth. And the next thing I turned, there was a whole lot of Kildare people in front of us, and he says, in the name of God, look at that, that's dreadful, blah, blah. And they just sort of took a wee bit of umbrage at this. Yeah. But the young fella beside me who said nothing the entire match, he says, hey, then you must remember that young lad played championship against Carrick Moore. So whatever that lad from Kildare is doing to him is nothing compared to what happened against Carrick Moore. Yeah. So he was well used to it.
He was well schooled.
But lads, listen here. I know we're talking a wee bit doom and gloom, but that's because we're so interested in the sport. The sport's still healthy. Like, I tell you what, we're still going to be record numbers. It's going to be hard to get a ticket to see Armagh and Tyrone.
Armagh Tyrone's the biggest
show. It's
going to
be a brilliant
time.
Game, isn't it?
Well, it's building up that way because, you see, the Tyrone obviously are likely to go in, possibly to win as a Division 2 unbeaten, which will be a phenomenal run by any standards. Armagh will have their, all their frontline troops available. Hopefully we'll see if Stevie McDonald comes back. And not only that, they're at home. They have last year, it's a wee bit similar to the match against Down last year. I mean, Armagh were given no chance in that match. They won it very comfortably. Yeah. It was a big, big setback for Down. A big setback.
Massive setback.
And I mean, I know Down, we were talking about Down going into Fermanagh, like another big match, but the facts of the matter are, I mean, Down's last Ulster title was in 1984, their last National League title 1983, even, and I mean, I know Derry are nearly, but Derry won their All-Ireland title in 1993, and they won several National League titles. Yeah. Derry have had a much better record lately, and if John Brennan gets all his players back, whom he has out, and I know managers lament about injuries, and it can become a wee bit boring, but some of them have justification. It, as you quite rightly said, it's building up to a very fascinating competition, and that element alone will bring people out.
You were saying about your frontline troops, and you talked about Stephen McDonald. You know, mm-hmm. what I mean, he hasn't made his mind up yet. You know, but what about Ronan Clark? He's coming back a wee bit in his club level. Yeah. Do you think, or is it too soon for him? Who do you think?
I was talking to Ronan yesterday. and he played 10 minutes for the Oaks at the weekend. And I was talking to his father the week before when he played against a friendly against Cagmore, although there's never such a thing as a friendly against Cagmore. And he played the last 10 minutes. And his father turned around and said it was like giving him an all-iron final, you know, to play 10 minutes. Now the father's issue at the minute is holding him back and making sure that he does things right. He doesn't, you know, play a full half. So the Oaks have him trying to get him back. I think personally, if I was in Rowan's position, I'd maybe leave the county football for another year, get back with the club playing well, but I'm Pierce Oldham.
Really, he reminds me of you. Listen, I always say there's players worth the admission fee alone. You were one of
those. I would totally agree with Gerard there. I think he'd be better to it. But if it is a case that the Armagh management feel that they might have to press Ronan into service, I think, you know, the very fact saying he was to come on the last 15 minutes of a match or 20 minutes of a match, well, it'll automatically occupy two defenders. Mm-hmm. Secondly, the psychological boost it would give the team would be considerable. And thirdly, the decibel level would rise even further. So it could well turn out to be maybe a delicate call, but I think given the length of time he's been out, given the nature of his injury, given the absolutely huge intensity in championship matches, he might be well to err on the side of caution.
Right, lads, after all that talk then about frontline troops coming back and the decibel levels rising and all the excitement and the sop coming up because it's getting into the championship, we're down now to what I would call the last bit of it. Who's your tip to win the All-Ireland? We ask this every week and people enjoy listening because that's all it comes down to, really. Like, well, who's your tip? And if we all knew, we'd all be sitting on our own private island.
I personally, Adrian, would be... I'd be going for Tyrone, and I'd be going for Tyrone for two reasons. One, I think their form to date is such that it's really only a taster of what was to come, because Mickey Hart's selection options, they've been strengthened all the time. The side has a winning mentality. This was a team who were, prior to Christmas, allegedly were not going to be heard tell of again because of six high-profile retirements. Mm. As a matter of fact, Tyrone have played well within themselves in getting where they are today. I also believe...
It's only Division 2, John.
In a sense, it is only Division 2. Yes, you are quite right, Adrian, but time will tell that whenever Tyrone go up into Division 1, as they assuredly will, and either Galway or Kildare go up into Division 1, we'll see how comfortably they live in it, and they live in it very comfortably. Also, I don't think that Dublin will be the force they were last year. I think Tyrone's biggest threat will come, not surprisingly, from Kerry. Although having said that, the fact that Cork have got Colm O'Neill back and one or two other people, you couldn't ignore them. But
Cork's problems are manager, John.
Pardon?
Any decent manager would manage that Cork team would win three All-Irelands back to back.
The more
players than enough.
There are elements of the management that do baffle you, and it's not that Conor Cunahan, he's very meticulous, he's very, very thorough in everything he does, but at times some of his selections and the style of play that is the team adopts sometimes does make you want. But
you need to get down in All-Ireland, John.
But most this year they're without the player who's so central to their progress over the past year, to 8 miles, the midfielder.
Now, John, you've gone for Tyrone there tentatively, even after all the talk about Armagh going to do all these things at athletic grounds. Now, if you tell me you're going for Tyrone as well, Hooley,
I am.
Clearly the two of you had a telephone conversation before you came here.
I noticed that you were down playing Tyrone as usual, because it was safe in the knowledge that your tenor's on.
No, I'm not down playing them. I think Tyrone are going to be there or thereabouts.
They will be
thereabouts. I think they're a good side. But at the same time, they could be well capable of being beaten in the first round by
Armagh. Well, guaranteed Geezer's team will be in the semi-final again, as to whether they have progressed any further. Kildare will be thereabouts.
I'm not impressed. Kildare, they're just athletes. They look well talked out.
I would remain to be convinced about Kildare.
But the bottom line is Kildare have yet to make that step into the.
They haven't won anything.
That's right.
I mean, they haven't won anything. They haven't got over the line. Yes. But they'll be there because of the backdoor system. As much as I hate it, is still there, and it's where Kildare progress and play well.
Yes, that's right.
The quality teams in it are still Kerry, are still there, but I just think they're of an age now where they're gone. I'm not convinced on their midfield. Talking about a team that's been decimated by injuries. You know, I mean, that's one team. You know, we're still relying on Paul Galvin and whatever.
That's right.
I just think Tyrone and the new kids are blocked. You have to give them a chance. Dublin were last year, albeit the snow going on Ireland. I still think Cork, if they get their act together, Mickey Hart changes allegiance. Any decent manager in that change would win an All-Ireland with that Cork team.
I agree with you, two managers I think that would be under intense pressure this summer, Adrian, is Kieran McGeaney and James McCartan. I mean, I know they've been talked up, but between nothing won, and both into their fourth year, James McCartan into his, he's a fairly extensive. I know 2010 was great to be beaten by a point in an All Ireland final. It doesn't get any closer than that. But at the end of the day, no silverware yet. Kieran McGeaney the same. I know there was a Leinster title, but it's really the All Ireland that they won. I mean, last year, you know, and they did get some bad rubs. That bad call against Dublin, like for the leg entanglement and things like that. They got some bad rubs of the green. But at the end of the day, as I say, you make your own luck.
Gentlemen, normally this programme only lasts about 30 minutes. I think we've talked for 45. I thought I could talk until you two boys came into the hall. I have to say it's been fascinating. I think we've covered everything that we really need to cover. As always, it's very, very interesting. It's lovely to hear the views of real GAA men who get to the core of the issue and who talk very honestly and very straight about it all. Gentlemen, thank you very much indeed. Let's hope we have a great summer, John, as you say, and a summer with very little of the headlines we can do without, because the sport doesn't need it. And let's hope, well, of course, the best team will win the All-Ireland because they're the best team. John, thank you very much.
Thank you, Adrian.
As always, thank you very much. And I meant to say to you too, all the very best in your role later this summer, because the Olympic flame is coming through Armagh, which is a big thing for you. So that's a massive summer for you as well.
Yeah, it's a great summer for sport. Obviously, you got the Olympics and coming, and obviously all the councils are getting the Olympic flame at some stage. We're getting it on the 5th of June, and we're going to look forward to it.
So you're hoping to have the Olympic flame and then put Tyrone's flame out in the athletic ground as well.
That'll
be the perfect
10th anniversary, Logie, as you told me, 2002. Yeah. History rewrites itself.
Thanks very much indeed. Good night.
Thank you. Bye. Bye.